got it made. Always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah.
There's that song. There's that song again.
Yeah, it always gets me. It really does. It gets me ready to go.
It does. It does. Yeah.
It's become
How you doing?
Song. I'm sure he doesn't know it's our song, but it's our song now.
Well, we say maybe we got to reach out to him at some point.
Maybe he'll come on as a guest.
That'd be awesome. Play it live.
Turns out he's an asshole.
Oh well.
Oh, well, I don't think a guy that can write that song could be an asshole. I'm sure he's a good man.
Now that you said it, he's definitely not coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll reach out. He said, I was going to reach out to you guys, and then I heard you call me an asshole.
Right. Oh, man.
Anyway, good morning. How are you? You look good. You look bright.
I'm good. Yeah, I got my sort of fall sweater on. It feels very fall-like. It's fall bordering on winter here in Ontario. We've had some nice weather recently, though. It was kind of like refreshingly mild for a few days. But you feel it getting closer and closer. Frost in the morning sometimes. But
same here.
I kind of like the winter. I don't mind. I like the fall, and I don't mind the winter.
Everybody that knows me knows that my favorite season is the 1st of September until the end of December. I love the fall. I love getting cozy around the fire and listening to the wind blow and running out to see the snowplow go by. And I just always like that time of year. I've always been a guy that runs hot. So in the summertime, I don't function well in the heat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that might even tie into what we're talking about today.
Possibly.
And it's funny you said sweater because I was at Leon's yesterday in St. John, and a friend of mine who works there was wearing a nice cardigan. And I said, oh man, I like your sweater game is really working today. And he started talking about his sweaters. And I said, me too, because I love sweaters. I love sweaters. I had a cardigan on originally for this podcast and decided to go with the Steelers jersey today.
Nice.
My boys are doing well right now, so I'll take it. They are. Which was a nice surprise. You know, we made those moves for those quarterbacks, and I remember when we grabbed Justin Fields, I was so excited because I saw him play some good ball in Chicago. And then like a day later, we got Russell Wilson. I'm like, what is going on here? You know?
Right. Yeah.
So far, so good.
Definitely.
We're going to talk about the Steelers only this morning, right?
Okay. I thought we were going to talk. I don't know the definition of the Steelers at the moment, but I guess we'll figure it out.
So we're going to talk about, we're a day late this week for something, a technical reason, I guess. We usually do it on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. But
we're going to talk about health and wellness this morning, particularly men and personal journeys. I'm going to talk about my personal journey with health and wellness.
Yeah.
So I think it should be interesting. I think it's going to be a good podcast.
I do too. It ties into, you know, a lot of what we talk about on the show. We're going to touch on health, nutrition, and then, you know, wellness as far as both physical and mental. And they're really interwoven, aren't they? We've had some experiences in our lives where we've had difficulties with addiction and different things, and you know, health and wellness kind of goes out the window when you're in that state. So
it does. And we've talked, you know, this is I think our 20th podcast, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a bit of a landmark. I'm proud of that.
I do too.
So what, knowing my math, so that's what we've done, 20,000 hours of podcasting.
yeah, from that previous one. Yes, we've done 20,000. Yeah, we've done.
I think that's the right math. But yeah, you know, we've done a lot of talk about mental health and addiction and things like that, but we've haven't really touched on the physical side of it. And I think it's well overdue to talk about. So
yeah, and again, we're by no means experts. We have our own experiences and our own wealth of knowledge, but just trying to get some ideas out there so that.
Listen, when we started this podcast, we talked about sharing our personal journey. let other people relate and learn from. And I think this morning, believe it or not, even though I've had some emotional journeys on this podcast, I've talked about some hard truths. This one is not a light one for me. This one's going to be a hard one. Maybe, surprisingly, maybe one of the hardest. I was really amazed when I started making some notes how tough it's going to be, but I do want to share it. I think it's important, especially for younger people to listen to. So.
No, I appreciate that. I think we've had a lot of feedback from people that really appreciate our openness and honesty and our willingness to share our stories. It opens up opportunities for anyone to, maybe listen to our story, listen to our honesty, and maybe have an opportunity to be honest with themselves or with other people in their lives about what's going
Absolutely.
on for them. So
Awesome.
hopefully
Do
it's
what?
positive, right?
I think so. Do you want to give us a definition?
I do.
All righty.
So as you mentioned, the title, the topic of today's podcast is health and wellness. So I'll define health first. Health is, it's pretty simple. It's the state of being free from illness or injury, as in he was restored to health. And
Nice.
there's a couple of little drill downs. A person's mental or physical condition, as in bad health forced him to retire. And then it's also used to express friendly feelings towards one's companions before drinking. Well, I didn't even read this one. That's weird.
For drinking. Oh, like here's to your better
Here's
health.
to your health.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Here's,
That's
you imagine how funny that
a
is to say, here's to your health as you take a drink.
That's a weird, yeah, that's a weird juxtaposition, isn't it? Like, okay, yeah, here's to your health. Let's poison ourselves. Here's to your health, huh?
Let's pour this poison into us quick.
I'll read one more section and then we'll go to wellness, but this is what is the full meaning of health? And health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. The enjoyment of the highest attainable standard of health is one of the fundamental rights of every human being without distinction of race, religion, political belief, economic, or social condition.
Wow.
That's pretty complex.
Yeah.
State of complete physical, mental, and social well-being. That's a good one. And
It
then
is.
wellness. Wellness is good too. Wellness is the act of practicing healthy habits on a daily basis to attain better physical and mental health outcomes so that instead of just surviving, you're thriving.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah,
I'm
so
amazed
really,
how much I always learn just from the definitions. It's crazy.
really just kind of associating, your day-to-day with being healthy and well. I mean, it's certainly a good practice.
It is.
And even just practicing it really from today forward, regardless of what you've done in the past. I mean, just the concept of knowing it and just thinking about it and how it can make you feel both physically and mentally. I mean, everyone, there's whatever 8 billion people on the planet. Not a single person has the same body. We're all different, like, so we're all unique. I think one of the things to really consider maybe this morning as we go through this is not to beat yourself up about whatever you've done in the past, whatever mistakes and wherever you are today, but to just consider the possibility of working today on some incremental level to just be a little healthier and feel a little more well. I think that's kind of always, how I kind of look at things. Yesterday's gone. Today is a reality. So,
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I'm going to touch on some of the way of that we move forward. Yeah, how do you want to we never discuss things ahead of time like this.
No,
I
we
mean,
don't.
where we want to start? Have you got a starting point? Have you anything you're thinking of, or do you want to
I
start? Do you want to
think.
start?
I mean, I guess I'll say it once again. Chronologically, I think how I look at maybe my concepts of health and wellness would be to sort of start at a younger age. I thought a bit briefly about sort of how I was like physically active as a young person, how I ate as a young person. I'm grateful my mom was a good cook. I'm grateful that my mom was a stay-at-home mom. Because I think, nowadays there are obviously a lot of both women and men in the workplace. And there are a lot more time constraints, I think, in today's society to work o over staying home, whether it's the man staying home, woman staying home, it doesn't matter. But I think when lives get really busy, that's certainly a time when we tend to go for the quick and easy meal as opposed to the real home cooked meal. So as a kid, my mom cooked. We had home cooked meals most of the time. I'm not saying we didn't have the occasional box pizza and fries or fish sticks and fries. Those were always kind of fun nights. Sometimes when mom served up a plate of vegetables or you're like, right? Pizza and fries was better, but I'm grateful that my mom cooked for us when we were young, and I learned how to cook from her. And even saying that, I think there's a lot of, I think men in general, more so that grow up not necessarily learning how to cook and not necessarily knowing really proper nutrition. And I know you learn it in school, and there's moments, but learning to cook and enjoying cooking can be an amazing experience. And I'm very grateful for sure to my mom for that.
Right.
As a young man, I'm British, as we've discussed. My dad was a big
So you don't know.
football.
So you don't know what a good food is.
No, that's true. No, I'm actually changing from good food because it's definitely not known for their good
Fish
food
and chips.
to physical activity. My dad was a soccer fan or a football fan, and
Right.
so as a young man, I played soccer. And I well into my teens, even early 20s, I played in like men's leagues and stuff. And then I shifted from playing to coaching. And there's obviously a physicality in soccer. There's a lot of running. There's jumping. There's whatever. There's all kinds of stuff, right? And I mean, nowadays, if you're a football, soccer fan, or you look at the athletes, they're incredibly physically fit. There's no doubt about it. Most of them run like 8 to 10 kilometers a game. So it's very demanding. And even when I first started coaching, in my 20s, I didn't have kids. But I loved the game so much that I just wanted to be part of it. And I mentioned it the other day somehow that people would come up to me and they're like, "Oh, which one's your son or daughter?" And I would say, "No, I don't have a son or daughter here." And they were just like blown away by that. I thought that was really great. But I guess to my point is I developed these habits both in eating well through my mom and also physical stuff through my dad that I've sort of carried on through my life. I ended up like I was into running. I was on the track team when I was a young man. My dad and mom both enjoyed tennis, so I played tennis. I joined a tennis league. So I certainly developed a love of certain sports that I've kind of carried on through my life, which I'm grateful for. We know that, habits through our young formative years often stay with us for a long time. So if you developed, not so healthy habits around not eating well and not exercising so well, obviously there are opportunities to shift away from those as you mature, but some of those ingrained habits, as we know, they stay with us. So, that's sort of.
And I'm going to go, I think we'll go a little different today. I'm going to react to your chronological at the same time, and then I'll let you go to your next one. So,
All right. Yeah.
my story is kind of the opposite of that. My family wasn't a sports family.
Yeah.
My family, I always said, I've told people, it was kids racing kids. My mom had me when she was 18, but I had a 2-year-old sister that was 2 years older. So they started very young.
Yeah.
We weren't, and I thought we didn't, we weren't into sports, not any of us. I learned to watch like wrestling with one grandfather, and even the grandfather who I don't particularly like, I used to watch some football and race car driving with him. I wanted to be a race car driver when I grew up. And that's how I became a Steelers fan, watching football with him. But my mom did not like to cook at all. She was a good cook if she tried, but she didn't like to cook. And my dad traveled. So when dad traveled, we ate, Chris, I kid you not, we ate fish sticks and fries. We ate TV dinners. We ate fish and chips takeout. We got pizza takeout. We ate takeout and junk. And we always had snacks in the house.
Right.
Now, my sister, unfortunately, now, looking back, it was crazy. She wasn't overweight, but she did struggle with her weight as it bothered her. And of course, as a young lady, a young girl, she had her own demons. She had to fight with people picking on her and feeling bad about herself. And I remember her being on a yo-yo diet her whole life. She was always dieting. And to think about the pressure to put on, she was a kid. I'm talking about like when she was 12, 13. Like, that's awful to put her through that. Whereas I know now we should have just changed as a family to eat better and she wouldn't have had to diet at all,
Right.
But then she had a brother that was me, who they used to call Daddy Long Legs. I was 6'2 when I was like 12, and I
Wow.
was skinny, scrawny, scrawny. My grandparents always said, "Oh, he's got a hollow leg, he's got a hollow leg." And my sister used to just glare at me because I could literally eat anything I wanted, as much as I wanted, and I never gained a pound. I was ribs, like
Yeah.
constant.
And just briefly, there's obviously evidence to suggest that people have different metabolic rates. I mean,
Right.
some people process and some people
Right.
don't.
And
So.
I just never gained weight.
Yeah.
But then when it came to sports, it's funny. It's a mental thing that happens. One of my best friends at the time, his dad pushed him into every sport. He played football, hockey, baseball. I tried to play football once. I got hit once, and I was like, I don't want to do this. And I did play basketball in junior high, and I was very good at it. I was tall, and I was good at it. I could never, I didn't get it. Like, I didn't put the time into practicing. I remember my dad was the coach because no one else would coach. And we were like the bad news bears, right? I mean, we fouled so much. We were big and bullies, but we didn't know the fundamentals. But not his fault. He didn't know what he was doing. But I remember he had to travel, and this other teacher who I didn't like tried to, he was filling in as coach, and he was trying to get us to come like at 6 a.m. And I'd be like, fuck you, I'm not doing that, And he was hollering at me, and I'm like, fuck you, you're not the coach, I don't have to listen to you, Like, I just didn't get it. I didn't get what it took to really be good. I didn't get the commitment. And I was also, I was, I know this isn't a good term, but I was a mama's boy. I was shy. I wanted to be home. Like, I didn't want to be up early going to practice. I didn't want to be out late at night. I wanted to be home in my pajamas watching TV. It wasn't my thing. I like to play games, like board games with my mom and cards, and play with my toys. And I just wasn't an athlete. I couldn't even play catch well. I would try to throw the ball. I couldn't throw it straight. And then I got tendonitis in my arm, so every time I threw anything, it was painful. And then I had these problems with my knees from growing too fast. They started hurting, and it just, I like sports. I was jealous of the guys that were on all the teams, but it just wasn't my thing. And then grade 10 hit, and I started gaining a little bit of weight, like a little bit, not bad. I wasn't overweight by any means, but I had a little bit of a belly. I remember one of my dad's best friend one day said, "Oh, geez, you're getting a bit of a belly for your first time there." And I said, "Yeah, whatever." But I started smoking in high school, and that kind of kept my weight down. But it wasn't a healthy childhood. I'm not blaming them. They loved me. My mom struggled with her weight. She gained weight. She was a tiny little woman, a tiny little girl, and then she had two kids, and it affected her badly. She got weight on, and she hated herself for it. I've talked about mom in the past, but she did. She hated herself, and
Yeah.
dad wasn't particularly nice to her about it, and it just was not good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, I'm going to let you go to the next level. Now, before I move forward, I don't want to jump ahead, but then when I got married, I went on the road and stopped smoking. And that was just a deadly combination, man. Deadly
Yeah.
combination. I gained. I also think I had a metabolism change, like something unhealthy happened inside me, because even from going on the road and suddenly eating pizzas and every night and take out every day and sitting in my car and sitting on my ass, because I used to bicycle as a kid and do stuff, right? Suddenly I was doing nothing.
Right.
Stop smoking, but I gained 100 pounds in a year,
Wow.
and it caused
Wow.
stretch marks over my body. Like it was off. I couldn't keep up with the clothing. I had nothing to wear. We didn't have big and tall men shops back then. It
Right.
was a nightmare. It was a
Right.
nightmare. Plus, I felt unattractive and all that. But anyway, that was my childhood. So I'd like you to go to the next step in yours, and I'll start with my adulthood.
Yeah, and look, just to touch on what you talked about, I mean, life is busy, and I'm sure that your mom, with your dad being gone, raising kids, and it's a lot, and it became very easy to make an easy choice at the grocery store.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I don't know when TV dinners were introduced, but it's probably 50s, 60s. Before that, they didn't really exist, and people ate, generally speaking, kind of a healthier, more whole foods diet. So yeah, it just became easy to just buy these things, throw them in the oven, and dinner was ready. And especially if you weren't taught any better, you didn't really know at the time. It's not, the evidence has really come out well, I mean, it's come out for a long time now, but we know that these processed meals are really high in sugar, for one thing.
Salt.
And they're not, you're just not getting the nutrients, the nutrition, the vitamins and the minerals from them that your body needs, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we know now that sugar is a major cause of disease. It contributes to at least the top five causes of death for both men and women, I think, but definitely men in Canada. So we can touch on that a little bit more. But I mean, a lot of this stuff can be environmental for sure. Health concerns. I mean, you talk about gaining 100 pounds in a year. That must have been a big concern for you. You couldn't have been like going, "Oh, this is great." But you did say, to your point, that you were on the road. You were fairly sedentary. You were in your car a lot. I mean, I'm sure you were walking around, but and again, based on how you grew and all these other factors. You had issues with your knees. You had a variety of things that kind of limited your ability to then, be really into exercise. But I think you told me at one point too that you were basically eating fast food like all the time.
All the time.
Right.
Oh, and I
And
was asthmatic too as a kid, which every time I ran, I couldn't breathe, so that didn't help.
right.
So
So
yeah, but
you had some strikes against you
I
for sure.
did. But you're right, I did fast food all the time, especially
Yeah.
once I got married. It was like I loved fast food as a kid, but we didn't get it all the time. But all of a
Yeah.
sudden, I was on the road, and
Yeah.
I can not
Yeah.
only could I get a Big Mac, I could get two Big Macs.
Right. And I
So
mean, I think I've seen Super Size Me. You've probably seen Super Size
yes.
Me. It's a scary movie.
It is. And I
I
almost did it.
mean,
I pretty much did it,
yeah. Yeah. I think again, So even after my formative years, as I said, I started to coach soccer. I still was active in a variety of different things. And then my first wife was, she was really into nutrition. She had some of her own health concerns, and so it was very important to eat whole foods. She studied in various avenues of health and nutrition. So I continued to be very healthy in my choices and in my diet. And I'm grateful for that. Even at times, I actually went the other way, where at times I was actually really quite skinny during that phase, because I was eating very healthily. I was exercising regularly. But when you do that, if you don't lift a lot of weights and get muscular as a man, you look lean. And I've been told that I at times I was skinny, and like, there's two sides to a coin. If you're a little overweight, you feel self-conscious. If you're underweight, you feel self-conscious. And it's sort of this weird place where we're all expected to have this kind of perfect body type. After a number of years of just kind of like dealing with stuff, eventually you just go, like, what the fuck? Just like, fuck off. I am who I am. I don't really care what you think. And I try to work on things today, like not taking things personally. If I look the way I look and I'm happy with the way I look, and you comment on how that is to you, I don't really care. It's my life, it's my body, it's my. But I was actually quite thin for a long time, and I did different things. Like, I was doing fasts. I did like 5-day fasts where I didn't eat a single solid thing for five days. And there's a lot of conversation about fasting, how it's beneficial for you. It's like sleeping for your body, basically. If you aren't ingesting food, then your digestive system has a chance to kind of like regenerate, build new cells, do the things. If you're eating all the time, it's constantly under stress to process everything, right? So there are definitely health benefits. There's a lot of conversation today around time frames when you should eat. They tell you kind of like there's different models, but try to eat between like 9 and 5, 10 and 6. Like, try to keep your intake consumption during the day when you're active, so that you can process the food and not burden your body with, digestion at night. They tell you not to eat right before you go to bed. So there's a lot of information out there, and you have to find out what's right for you. But again, through those years, the 30s, the 40s, I generally speaking, ate well. I knew about nutrition. I understood the value of certain foods, and I know that when I ate good food, it made me feel good. It's not to say that I didn't go to McDonald's once in a while, but eventually I got to the point where I would go to McDonald's. 45 minutes later, I'd be like, why did I do that? I mean, we've all experienced that. You're just like,
It's
oh,
just filler. You feel
it's like
terrible.
a food hangover, right?
It
It literally
is.
is. And so, eventually, I'm not suggesting for a minute I'm never going to go to McDonald's again. I do like their breakfast sandwich, the Egg McMuffin or whatever.
Me too.
But making these choices, I knew how it made my body feel. And I also know how exercise made me feel. I had an opportunity, we've talked about it on some previous podcasts. I had an opportunity when I met my second wife to start cycling. I had cycled when I was young. I bought a bike when I was young, but I got back into it and I really loved it. There was a camaraderie in it, and there was a thrill in it. It was the dopamine that we, talk about, that you get from certain things. It's thrilling. So we rode our bikes up mountains, and we did. It was just a great experience. I was involved in like tennis leagues that I helped run, and I've always enjoyed that. And there, the health and wellness benefits of exercise are almost immeasurable. They just, like, it helps me feel good. It helps me in my own mind and to look a certain way. And so there's just a certain sense of well-being in that. And so,
Yeah, and it
yeah,
shows. It shows. You look
I'm
good. You're physically fit. You carry yourself well. And I think it helps you and others. I think it helps you. emote a little bit of confidence because you do feel good and look good, you know.
Absolutely.
On my, I'm the other side of the coin because I gained all that weight and hated myself. I mean, hated myself. I didn't like getting naked in front of my wife. And I got a young, beautiful wife, and all of a sudden I'm not feeling good about myself, right? So then I think my jealousy even gets harder because I'm feeling so bad about myself. I think, oh, she's gonna leave me, right? Even though she wasn't gonna leave me, but I felt that way. She was very loyal and she loved me for who I was, which I appreciated. I still do. But the problems it caused me, Chris, I got diabetic very young, type 2, which I'm going to touch on a little bit more. But there was the, I couldn't get any clothes to fit me. Like, and I had to wear business clothes. And I'm telling you, Chris, I had couldn't find them. There was no Mr. Big and Tall back then. There was no George Richards. There was no place to get clothes. If I found anything that fit me, whether it was a t-shirt or sweatpants, I mean, I was wearing 4Xs and 5Xs. At my highest, I weighed 385 pounds. I mean, anything I could find to wear, I wore, and I wore it out, right? Because I couldn't find enough clothes. Now, eventually, Mr. Big and Tall came along, and you could buy bigger clothes, which isn't a good sign for our society that all of a sudden we needed these stores.
It's not.
But they were also very expensive. But you were, they had you, right? Like you had to buy there. So we would, I spent a fortune on business clothes just trying to, but even then, you never felt good. I mean, people, even your friends, like, you know how many times I was called big guy? If I
Yeah,
never
of
heard the
course.
fucking term big guy ever again, and people say it friendly, like, hey, big guy, hey, big guy, hey, big guy, like, yeah, okay, hey, fuckhead, fuck off, okay, I know I'm a big guy. And I remember, like, I brought this, this kind of suede sport coat that was, it was beautiful. I loved it, but it was big. I was a big guy. And I went to the show at Kingstown in Toronto and I felt good about myself. I thought, this is a nice coat. And one of my dealers walked in, a guy I don't particularly like, but he said, oh, nice coat. He says, you know, it's too bad you weren't thin enough to make it look good.
Oh
And I was just like, thanks. Thanks a lot.
boy.
And then I felt like shit for the rest of the show.
Right.
I remember even my boss, who I won't bench my name, he made fun of something one day. I was bent over in the way my pants looked. And I'm like, I know you think I'm taking it in stride, but I'm not taking it in stride. Here we are 15 years later, and I still remember what you said. Like it bothered me. And then there was the part that really bothered me. I was big and I sweat. And I mean, I had a problem where I sweat my nerves. I still get nervous, sweaty sometimes, but because of my weight and my nerves, I always wore black. People thought it was because it made me look thin. It's because I was wrenching everything. So then I would, so I always remember the furniture shows. I'd walk in, I had 5 days of these shows. I'd have my business clothes on and I would walk in. I hated the way I looked because I had to tuck my shirt in, right? Because I had, so then my belly would show and because I had to wear a tie. And then if I wore anything but black, I would sweat through it, and then I would be self-conscious. So I'm trying to do a job that I prepared for well. I know what I'm doing. I'm good at it. But 80% of my brain is just worried about how I look and what's happening. I remember leaving the South Shore booth at the International Center in Toronto and going and calling Shonda and crying in the cafeteria for half an hour because I'd sweat through my shirt and I didn't know what I could do. I couldn't calm down. I couldn't dry myself off enough. I was pouring water into me. Like, it was just a nightmare. It was a living, breathing nightmare. My whole life was like that for a good part of my adulthood. And I think that works against you because then the only place you want to be is home because, like, you don't, the world can't see you, right? Like, I didn't go to school reunions. My friends would invite me out. I wouldn't go out to see people because I was embarrassed. I didn't want people that used to know me to see me any, like, I couldn't stand the way I looked. I didn't want anyone to see me. I didn't want to see anybody. And I didn't want to go to my wife's family at Christmas dinner because I didn't want her family seeing me and thinking, oh, what is Shonda married to? Like, I mean, the self-loathing, I can't even get into how much it just destroyed my life and me. And I said it one time in an earlier podcast, like I, you know, if I went swimming, I always had to have a t-shirt on, which was embarrassing. And it just, it was no way to live.
But
And
you did end up losing weight.
I lost 140 pounds
When
and
was that?
that was about 5 years ago.
So you,
5, 6 years ago.
yeah. So let's just go back to the timeline. You found out you had diabetes at what age?
Probably 25.
Wow, that is young, isn't it?
Yeah, it was from the weight I gained. And I'm
Wow.
gonna, since you brought it up, I'm gonna talk about it because I say it all the time. I want to be a spokesman for diabetes. I want to go to schools and of all ages and talk to kids about diabetes because I didn't take diabetes seriously because nothing happened. Okay, Sean, you're diabetic. You have to take these pills. You probably should take insulin, but I didn't want to take insulin. But I took pills. I took pills. And I took pills.
Yeah.
And but I was like, well, diabetes is doing nothing. This is a joke. Doesn't I don't nothing's happening. I don't 10 years later, I'm like, nothing's happening. What who cares? My sugars were running high. Big fucking deal. I didn't care. I didn't do anything. I didn't care. It was
Right.
like diabetes did nothing. And it's true,
Until
it does nothing until it does something.
right.
And then when it decides to do something, it fucking does it. I gotta tell you. Because
Well, and I'll just stop you
yeah.
quickly. Diabetes, once you have it, that's it. It does not, you cannot get it, it doesn't go away. It only gets worse.
Just gets worse and it
Just to
starts
clarify.
just eating at your body all over this place. And I listened to a guy, and this isn't my statement, but this was a smart, intelligent guy on TV. I don't know who I can't remember his name. He was a doctor.
Yeah.
And he said, this is a bold statement, and it's probably not true, but he said, with all the medicine they have for AIDS today, that I would rather get AIDS than diabetes. He said, you have a better chance of living longer and healthier with AIDS today than you do with diabetes. And
Wow.
that probably isn't true. And I don't want him to think I think that. I don't know anything about AIDS, so I'm not a spokesman for that.
Right.
But it's just I know
Right.
what he was trying to say. He was trying to get a point across because my diabetes eventually it started. The biggest thing it did to me. It would give me the sweats, so that led against it. It also, I didn't notice 2 years later, but my whole adult, it led to mood swings because my sugars would go high, and I'd
Sure.
lose my temper, and I would
Yeah.
get like, "Ugh!" And my
Yeah.
kids and my wife felt the brunt of that, and I didn't even
Yeah.
know what was going on. And it would
Right.
happen if I would physically exert myself, like say we had to move some furniture around.
Yeah.
It didn't go well, I'd be losing my temper. Like, and that wasn't who I
Yeah.
was. I'm not the
Yeah.
type of person, but it was a physical thing happening. And then I'm being an asshole, so everyone thinks I'm an asshole, right? Or
Right.
I go to do something with my kids, like flying a kite or a plane, and then it wouldn't work out because and I couldn't really do it well. And then I'd be lose my temper. And my kids put up with a
Right.
lot of bullshit from
Right. Yeah.
me. But then
And
physically, diabetes took my foot. It gave me a thing called Charcot foot.
yeah.
Charcot foot is when your arch collapses. So I
Yeah.
had two beautiful feet, beautiful arches, and then one of them on the left just collapsed. It didn't just go flat, it went the other way.
Yeah. And why
That's
does
not
that happen?
it's because it leaves the sugars soften the tendons and muscles in your foot.
Right.
And Charcot foot is almost impossible to fix. So this is just a few years ago, and I'm limping around. I don't know what to
Yeah.
do. I had one doctor tell me I should take off my foot. He didn't know what to do. I
Yeah.
finally found a guy that's willing to work on it, and a lot of people that were with
And
me,
that does happen. People do lose their feet and their
they
legs.
do. My aunt lost both of hers from type 1 and died of it. Got that big steel bracket on my leg that everyone remembers that knew me. I had, wires and bolts in my leg, and I had to walk on that thing, and it broke. And that was 8 months of my life. It was a nightmare. But even the outcome of that was not like, oh, fantastic. They fused my foot, so now my foot is flat. I still walk with a limp. I can't, and without your arch, you can't grip. You've been to my house. I have a very slight slope on my driveway. If there's any rain or even anything, I can't go down the driveway because I can't stop myself. I'll go right up to the middle of the road. So if it's dry, I can slowly get myself down it, but I can't do a lot of things anymore. And that's just one thing that's happened. Plus, they said it was a big factor in me having three strokes. Just about killed me. And anyway,
You
I'll stop.
so Yeah, and do you want to explain what, like, for people listening, what is it, what exactly did diabetes have to do with you having a stroke? Do you know?
Well, diabetes thickens your blood. And
Right.
what happens when your blood gets thick, that's why people lose their feet, because it can't get to the tips of your fingers. That's why your fingers get numb, and it can't get to the end of your toes anymore. And then what
Right.
happens, you start taking insulin, and it makes it flow quicker, but then your blood starts hitting the ends of your toes really hard, and then it starts causing
Right.
holes and that. But that happened in my brain. It that
Right.
once I started, I always wouldn't take insulin because I was scared of it for those reasons. And then it started banging against my thing here, and it caused an eruption.
Right.
I should know. It was I asked my wife the other day. It's there's two kinds of strokes. Either something breaks or it blocks.
Right.
Can't remember exactly what mine was. Isn't that awful? But either way, it's from diabetes. And my strokes, I mean, Shonda was sure I was going to die. I was in the hospital for weeks. I mean, I've never recovered from those strokes. Never. My memory, I lost a lot. I lost a lot of things with those strokes that I didn't get back. So anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, just a couple things, of course. I mean, you're telling your story, and I'm grateful for that. And it's, I looked it up earlier when we were talking about this podcast. 10 or 11, I think it's 11% of people in the US have diabetes.
Wow.
So 1 in 10 people have diabetes, and the obesity rate in the US is 40% at this point.
Wow.
And,
40%.
again, not to fault anyone, of course, but because it is easier to choose processed foods and to not consider a healthy diet. But look at the side effect, of course, of what happens there. We know that sugar is a major problem here, and processed foods contain a lot of sugar. And just consumption of sugar in general. I know I've been working on reducing my sugar, and just carrying on with my story, of course. We've talked about addiction on the show. I eventually got to the point where I was really highly addictive, I guess, and consuming a lot of alcohol. And in that period, you do. A friend of mine calls it the fuck it switch. You flip the fuck it switch, and you don't really care about what's going on. I completely stopped exercising. I ate total shit for a year. Frozen pizzas, fucking. I was eating fish sticks again, which was, I was going back to my childhood, going, oh, these are so good. But I just threw shit in the oven and ate it. And it was because it was easy, because I was really focused on drinking and I didn't really care. My mental health was going out the window.
Right.
My physical health completely went out the window. People that have seen me recently and haven't seen me in a couple of years are like, oh, again, they're like, wow, you're so thin. Because I was totally inflamed. My fucking whole body, my face was fat. Like, my stomach was like ridiculous. Like, it
Love
was.
it.
I threw out shirts that I couldn't wear. I like, if I put them on today, they would be too big. So, same thing. Within a span of a couple of years, I completely fucking tanked. And it's easy to do. And I don't fault anyone if they're going through mental health struggles, that what follows suit is physical health problems. Like, you're not going to be out there exercising if you're depressed. You're going to be laying in bed eating chips. And we know that there's a huge tie-in with physical and mental health. Like, it's a cycle.
And I'm not going to interrupt you. But that's what happened with me. The bigger I got, the more depressed I got. So the more depressed I got, the less I did.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't leave the house. I wouldn't do anything, you know. And then
Yeah.
I got so big, I couldn't even ride my bike. I couldn't, you know. It's a terrible, vicious cycle.
And I think Part of what we're talking about here is breaking a cycle, and how do you break that cycle, right? I think I don't want to generalize, but I think as a society, we tend to like it almost takes a kind of cataclysmic event to go, oh shit, I got to do something here, right? And I certainly was at that point. It was kind of like I either like, as you often like to quote, get busy living or get busy dying. I was pretty good at, I was definitely on the course of getting busy dying. And I'm incredibly grateful to the people that are around me that, love me and said, kind of said, look, you got to do something. And I have, it's been a struggle. It's had its ups and downs, but I feel like at least today, I'm back in a sense. Like I like to eat healthy. I like cooking. I like exercising. I've been riding my bike 3, 4 times a week. I do usually 20, 30 kilometers. I'm grateful. I have a trail near my house. I'm grateful. I have a bike. I started running again recently. I like how I feel when I get up in the morning, and that doesn't come automatically. I still have to put in the work every day to like do some cooking, do some cleaning. I still meditate in the morning. I still like I say my prayers, and there's a lot to it. It's not just a snap your fingers, but I think, as I said before the podcast, there's that old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I think that's bullshit. You just have to kind of like, you have to decide what's important for you today. And no one's going to suggest that if you're not a runner, that you're going to go out and run 10K this morning. Just start with a walk for 5 minutes. Start with like going to the grocery store and investigating what kind of vegetables you like, or what kind of fruits you like, or what kind of things you like to eat. It's a process, but it's a rewarding process, because, like you said, sometimes the effects of your health, your mental health, and your physical health catch up to you. Like you get diabetes, you find out you have cancer. And most of these diseases are preventable. We know they are, right? I
You
mean,
said it, 40% north of the Americans are overweight. And
yeah, and that obesity is going to lead to diabetes. It's going to lead to cardiovascular problems. It's going to lead to heart attacks and strokes. It's going to lead to cancer. We know these things.
it's going to crush our medical system. Well, that's not what we're talking about, but it's going to,
I mean, we talked about on the podcast last week that the future of AI. I almost feel like there's like a light at the end of the tunnel at this point. It's like, oh, well, if you can make it for the next 20 years or so, I'm gonna maintain your health and well-being. Who knows what the future holds of reparative disease and all these other things? I don't know. I mean.
But it's hard to even blame society. Yes, we're responsible for ourselves, but we watch TV and it's just constant Burger King and Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried Chicken, get a pizza, get a kick, have a beer, go. And then when we were kids, I remember when the first McDonald's was built in my town. I remember it. It was like exciting, right? But nowadays, there's McDonald's on every corner. And then we invented drive-throughs. We don't even get out of the car to go get our junk food anymore. Now we just sit on our ass and go get it. That it's just filler, right? So society has really become that way that we. But it makes me think about. I'm hitting some hard subjects. I'm not even hitting them all, but I talked about my adult. What it did to me personally, never, and I'm not even going to talk about sex and other things that it bothered me about, but that's a little personal. But then my children, not never mind my children had to put up with me being a grouch, but then my children are not being taught to eat right, and Both of my kids had a little bit of a weight problem when they were younger. And they're both done well as adults of fighting it. And they found their way to eating better and did it, but they did it with their own wives and their own help, not for me, for me. And none of the blame can really be put on Shonda. I was a big force in this house and what we did and what we, Shonda is a great cook, but she's also a great baker, just like her mother. So like pies and cookies and love stuff like that, right? So it's I just feel terrible that I didn't do a better job of teaching my kids to be healthier and active, but I wasn't healthy and I wasn't active. I tried to get them into a few sports, but every time they would go, "Oh, I don't know if I want to do this. I want to come home." I'd be like, "Come home." Like I never pushed at all. I know you shouldn't be a father that forces them to do something, but I didn't even really even encourage it too hard. It was just, it's okay. Come home, come home. Let's play a video game. Let's watch TV, So.
You did your best. Again, you were raised a certain way, you raised them a certain way, but they sounds like they've gotten to the other side of it. And I think, there's so much more information nowadays. There's so much more, there's so many more tools at our fingertips to understand health and wellness and to eat well. And there's so many, there's so many alternatives to fast food nowadays. You've got these like pre-prepared meals that you can get ordered to your house where everything, like all the vegetables are all in there and they give you all the instructions. It's super easy. So
We do those, they're great.
there are becoming healthier and healthier choices to be
And even at
made.
the fast food joints, a lot of them have healthier choices. You can get a salad, you can get a fajita, you can do a little better if you want to, right? So
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I
I mean, look, I have struggled with sugar. The one thing that we always did, we always had dessert. Like my mom, when we were kids, we always had dessert. Like whether it was usually ice cream, but it could have been a pie, or I remember we often had vanilla ice cream with canned mandarins in it. I don't know whether you ever had that. I loved it. Like it was just the combination, but it's just a bowl of sugar, right?
Yeah, we do whipped cream and pineapple, and just, oh, this is a parfait. It's delicious.
And so, and there was a period, oh my God, after my dad passed away, I ate Häagen-Dazs every night. It was like my comfort thing. And some nights I'd eat the whole tub. And I was telling, I don't know, I think my brother-in-law at one point, I said, I've had a, he's like, "How are you coping with your dad?" I said, "Well, I've been eating ice cream a lot." And he's like, "Oh yeah, like what? How?" I said, "I think I've probably eaten 250 to 300 tubs of Häagen-Dazs this year." He's like, "Holy shit."
It's, I did that with Cherry Garcia when my mom died, but I was a
Oh
Ben
my
Jones
God.
guy.
Yeah. So, I get some constant reminders from people around me, like maybe because what I look at it as comfort, but it also I know that now it affects my sleep. When you eat sugar before you go to bed, it affects your sleep, just as alcohol does. Like, there were times where when I was drinking, you'd pass out and you'd be like, you'd sleep for like 8 hours and you'd think you'd go, like, "Oh my God, I had such a good sleep," but I can't. But before you sleep, you get like 5% of your required REM sleep because you're just in this crazy twitchy place where you're not actually, like, even though you're passed out and your eyes are closed, you are not sleeping deeply. And so now I also know that sugar before bed is doing the same thing. So I'm trying to make choices. Sometimes I'll have ice cream at lunch, because I'm actually able to process it then and go to bed properly. And now
Absolutely.
I've been on a sourdough mission because I do know that actually if I want to eat bread, sourdough is the best bread that you can eat. It's good for your gut health. There are a lot of healthy benefits. So I've been making sourdough. It's fucking incredibly difficult. And it takes like 13 hours to make a loaf of sourdough bread. But I enjoy the process. And now, as a byproduct of my sourdough bread, because you have to cast off half of the sourdough starter every day and refeed it, I've started making sourdough cookies. So sourdough cookies have health benefits, and I use a recipe. I cut the sugar in half, and now I try to eat one or two. I know that sounds crazy, but the reality is, I know that if I keep eating sugar, I can easily get diabetes too, and all the other things that go along with it. And I don't really want to get diabetes because I know once I got it, I am not getting rid of it. And so it really does require effort. It requires commitment. It does, as most things that are worth doing in life require. Nothing happens easily in life. It requires work and effort. We know that about our jobs, our lives, our kids, our families. It requires work. And,
It does, and you're absolutely right. I'd like to get a sourdough starter from you. I don't know how to get one, but I know I lost 135, 140 pounds, but I didn't do it by being healthy. I stopped eating. I just stopped fucking eating, and part of that was from depression. I just didn't give a shit about eating. I used to be a food addict, and I all of a sudden didn't care about food. I still don't particularly. The reason I'm not gaining my weight back now is not because I'm eating healthy, it's because I just don't eat that much. Like, I eat breakfast, and then Shonda usually calls me mid-afternoon saying, like, "Have you eaten today?" I said, "Oh fuck, I forgot to eat." Biggest conversation we have around here is what we're gonna have for supper, because I have no idea. I have no idea. I end up eating something I shouldn't eat. I know you give me a hard time because I eat too much Rice Krispies or too many waffles. I know it. It's shit, but I don't feel like anything else, and I don't put the effort in. Like, I know that I'm not putting the effort in. I know I should be putting the effort in. I know I'm not a healthy guy. I'd still like to lose some more weight. But
What?
it's that circle. I'm telling you, it's not an
Yeah.
excuse. I'm
So
just.
what?
Just telling the truth of what my life is right now. It's a circle of depression, worry. I'm unhealthy. I can't stand the fact that I can't walk down my fucking driveway. And I got an empty nest. I'm missing my children. My baby girl we talked about just died. I got my thing in this week. I got her ashes around my neck.
Awesome.
I miss my
That's great.
girl, but it just doesn't. I have myself in a constant state of worry. I have my whole adult life. I have huge debts with the government that I can't stop worrying about, even though I know that I can't do anything about it today. And even though I've seen my wife take charge of our finances and make incremental changes, and we're seeing results. Like, we had two different versions of the government we owed money to. She got one paid off. I couldn't believe it, and caught up to date. And now we got another thing caught up to date. Now we're working on the biggest one, but at least she got two taken care of. And I know we're not talking about finances today, but it's the same thing with your health. I know you're right. I know I could start today to start making some incremental changes that might help my health. And might get me out of my chair that I've slept in for 4 years and back in my bed, but I've got to get out of my head. I've got to get out of my head. I know what I have to do. I know there's people that you can educate and go, "Here's what you should do," and they go, "Oh, I didn't know that," but I do know that. I do know better. And I think sometimes knowing better is even harder because you know what you're not doing, and then you feel guilty about not.
So I mean, I've been drilling into a few things. Like we've been talking a lot about men's health and wellness, and that was a lot of the podcast, that the reason we started the podcast. There are a number of good men's forums, men's groups online. You can do the research yourself. I don't have the information in front of me today, but if you Google, men's health and wellness, there are a number of online chats available that are free. There's Zoom meetings, and they just talk about men's health, men's wellness, whether it's depression, whether it's eating, whether it's divorce, whether, they talk about things that men need to talk about with other men. So there's certainly opportunities there to discuss. I think, sometimes when you're kind of on your own, when you're at home, when you're doing your thing, you're not really challenging. You're not very challenged. So I think, having a challenge with a friend to sort of like be accountable is a great way to get out and exercise perhaps, or do like a meal comparison. Hey, here's what I'm making tonight. I don't know, just things like that to kind of to because we don't always have the motivation internally. Sometimes we need external motivation as well.
I think you're probably right. I get myself in a trap too of where I'll be like, okay, I lost 130 pounds, 140 pounds. I'm 7 years clean from my opiate addiction. I'm free of a couple other addictions that I don't want to talk about. I stopped smoking. I still vape, but I stopped smoking, which was hard. And I think all the things I've accomplished, and I get kind of like my backup, like, okay, fuck, I've done so much. Like, can I just have one fucking thing? There's that Alan Jackson song, "Everything I Love Is Killing Me." That's what I feel like. Okay, like, give me a break. Can I have something? But I know what I'm doing now isn't working for me. I know that. So I've got to do something. But I've also got to get my backup. You know this. I'm talking, you know that I get my backup when you try to help me with stuff. I get like, fuck you. I don't want to talk about it, right? So that's something I have to get past. I'm just being honest. I have to, and I'm not talking just you. It's not only you. I got other people in my life, but
Know.
I get my backup. So that's something I got to get past too.
Well, there's two things in that. I mean, it's like you get your backup probably because you're aware of it, but you
Right.
don't necessarily want to look at it, right?
Yes,
And
absolutely.
we talked about this on a previous podcast, and as soon as you started to say the part where you're like, "Well, I did this and I did this and I did this, so fuck off, I don't want to do anymore," it reminds me, of course, of the term "rest on your laurels."
Yes,
You
absolutely.
remember we talked about this?
Yes.
Listen to
I'm the king
the
of
definition.
resting on my laurels. That's what
Listen to the
I
definition.
do.
Be so satisfied with what one has already achieved that one makes no further effort.
Right.
And it's like, well, you
Perfect.
know what? I hate to break it to you, but making no further effort is not going
On, it's my fucking plan. I gotta have a plan.
And if it is your
I've
plan,
tried what
it's
is
okay. You
tried
can have that plan. No
tried
one's going to
nothing.
tell
I've
you
tried
can't.
nothing and I run out of ideas.
Okay.
No, I want to do better. I do. I at least have that in my brain. I want to do better. I've got some challenges because of my foot. I did buy a little if you can
I
see.
think,
I bought a little bicycle I put under my desk that I'm
I know that's a
spinning.
start. And I think just
Helping.
ask yourself why you want to do better. What is the reason?
Because I want to be here for my children and maybe
Fuck
grandchildren
you.
and my wife.
Exactly. And that's as good a reason as anything. That's as good a reason as anything that anybody
But
needs.
I've also been, and we've talked about this, I'm not talking about it today, but I've been to the point of suicidal. So, like, I stayed for my family. So if I'm going to make that decision to stay, I've got to try to want to stay. And you can talk about feeling one, but I was in the hospital with my stroke, and I didn't realize how much it bothered my wife more than me. Like, she went home crying a couple of nights because she was sure she'd lost me. And I think, I don't want to do that to her. I've been with her for 35 years. She counts on me. She depends on me. And
I mean, if you
she
do it
loves
for
me,
your
even though I don't love myself. And I know that's another topic, but I don't love myself, but she does.
And
And that means something, you know?
that's the root of a lot of things. We'll get to that. We can get to that on another. We've touched on it before, but if at least you're not doing it for yourself, if at least you can start by saying, okay, today I'm going to do this for my wife and my kids, and then if that eventually, I think the byproduct of it is that you then all of a sudden realize that you are in fact doing it for yourself, because suddenly you're like, oh, okay, well, I am walking every day now and I am eating better every day.
Right.
When you kind of look to the past to create what your current state or even your future state, then all you're doing is focusing on the things that you've done. But there's always opportunity to change, and there's always opportunity to become someone that you haven't been in the past. I think about my life and I think about the experiences that I've had. I probably when I got married the first time, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to be married and I'm going to like, I'm going to live. No, that isn't it. That is long gone. And, so there's been all these different chapters in my life that it's like you in the moment you think, oh, that this is it. This is this kind of like permanent future. No, it's not. Who knows what tomorrow, right? It's just.
Well, and listen, I know we have to wrap up just because we've been talking too long, but I the one thing I thought about when we thought about this issue is, there's an old saying that as long as you have your health, people say as long as you have your health, and I've learned that what that means. I've learned that. But you think about we've talked I talk about money a lot and the lack of and wishing I'd done things different, but I'm going to take one guy for example, Steve Jobs. He was one of the wealthiest men in the world, and he died. He died. He'd have traded all that wealth for his life.
100%.
It didn't make any difference. He couldn't buy his way out of it. He couldn't do anything about it. He got sick.
No, no.
And we're gonna maybe have a friend on soon that's dealing with some pretty serious cancer. But I think we all know that yes, money makes things easier, and maybe it buys you a nicer gravestone, but it doesn't, it
It
can't buy
definitely does
love.
not buy, it does not buy happiness. I mean,
It doesn't.
Let's go back to the definition at the beginning. Wellness is the act of practicing healthy habits on a daily basis to attain better physical and mental health outcomes so that instead of just surviving, you're thriving.
Exactly. Well, this was a good podcast because it's given me a lot of things to think about. Hopefully I can do something about it, not just think about it. I am bad like that, but I'm trying. That's why I'm doing this podcast. This podcast started, it was your idea to help me in the originally because I was floundering. And it does. It helps for me personally to air it out, talk about it, face it head on.
Absolutely.
But we gotta wrap it up. I gotta go have a bowl of Rice Krispies and a Diet Coke.
I'm gonna have a bowl of yogurt, some homemade granola, and some fruit.
Spaz.
Yeah,
I can't lose any more weight. I mean, I can barely keep the women away from me now. If I get any better looking,
you only have one woman in your life, as far as I know.
I
So
do.
you make
I
your
do.
choice.
Yeah, I got lucky. I knocked her up. I kept her.
You don't have to worry about that anymore, so that's good.
Exactly. Well, that was a great podcast. I really enjoyed it. Gave me a lot to think
Thanks for
about, though.
sharing.
As usual, it always amazes how I got so much more I'd like to say, but we just can't go on forever.
No.
I'll talk to you soon, I'm sure. And I'm gonna play our outgoing music, and you have a good day.
You too, brother. Love you, man.
I love you too. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know I do.
Need a man who's got it made, always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it, a spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah, they don't want them a good man.